You're welcome. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1739, Eric Sugru, Big Trips LLC.
Bear with me a second.
Take your time, Mr. Link.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 6 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.66 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Road 270A, also known as Muncie Branch Road, 3,000 feet northeast of Route 1. Previously, the commission was provided with a exhibit booklet called Branchway. Firebound booklet is part of the record, has been a part of the record since June 26.
This is Deaver. There's one over here facing that way. If you wanted to, you don't want to twist your neck quite so hard. Go ahead. Feel free to get up close and take a look.
For the benefit of the commission, if you have difficulty reading the site plan and the exhibit booklet, I do have large 24 by 36 inch exhibits also. I did receive a memo from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum. It makes reference to let me get the right one here. Bear with me a second. Skip that one. I've got it wrong. It's in the wrong file. From the County Engineering Department in the form of a memorandum and received on July 2nd. In reference to this application, we're advised that site is located in a county-operated, maintained sanitary sewer district, which is the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater capacity is available. The system connection charge rate credits, there is one existing. The current system connection charge rate is $4,132 per EDU. The parcel has been served with 1 6-inch lateral, which is not adequate for the proposed project. Installation of additional laterals or extension of mainline sewer onto the site is required. Conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required. The proposed project is within system design assumptions for sewer service. The proposed development will require a developer-installed collection system in accordance with Sussex County standard requirements and procedures. County engineer must approve the connection point. Depending on the project's design and site-specific details that are unknown at this time, it may be possible for the project to utilize additional laterals to be installed by the developer. County engineering department requires that a sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval, and they did require a checklist for preparing conceptual plans. The existing dwelling on the parcel must be properly disconnected and inspected by the county prior to removal, demolition, site work, and issuance of a building permit. One-time system connection charge rates will apply, and a concept plan is required. That was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. We have received some correspondence. From different individuals, and also a short petition signed by, I'm not sure what the number is. Let's see. Appears to be 102 signatures in opposition to the application. It appears to be residents from Fieldcrest Drive, Ramblewood Drive, and other areas along within the Muncie Branch Road area. As I said, again, that's 102 signatures on the petition. Petition state with the undersigned opposed the following, the application of Eric Shagrew, Big Trips LLC, to consider the use of land in a general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 6 units. And basically, it's the text of the advertisement, rather than read it again. And that was sent by certified mail. Received a letter in opposition from John Howard, stating his concerns. The letter was received by fax today from Faye Marsh, also in opposition. A letter from Lucia Gomez and Alan Hilton in opposition, and also a handwritten letter, approximately 2 pages, from, let me see what it says on the envelope. It's hard to read.
Jennifer Flinchball.
All right, that's it, Jennifer Flinchball. Thank you. Handwriting, you're still better than mine. They are all part of record, and I'll pass those down. And then there's a letter from, There's also a letter expressing concerns and opposition from Mabel Holland, and she is the vice president of Fieldwood Owners Association. And if you want to proceed with a public hearing, I'll find my other letter from the Conservation District. Somehow it was attached to the Peninsula Commons.
All right, then. Well, while you're searching for that, Mr. Lank, we'll move ahead. That's all right with you?
I'm faster than I thought, sir.
All right, go right ahead.
In reference to the memorandum from the Conservation District, where it's reported to have 2 soil types, one being down or loamy sand and one being Long Branch and Indian Town soils, which frequently flood. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. The site is located on Muncie Branch. Please follow all state and federal wetlands guidelines, and that was referenced because of the Long Marsh, soils are hydric. The site is not located in a flood hazard area. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. In reference to on-site drainage improvements, the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment practices. The downer soil is an average of 5 to 10% slopes, and there could be high runoff potential. There are no tax ditches affected. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared showing the general vicinity of the site in reference to the other projects. This site is surrounded pretty much by the Fieldwood, Truevale, and Shady Ridge projects. There's also a copy of an aerial soils map showing the soil types. We also receive a map legend, map information on the soils, and also a reference to prime and other important farmlands. And that is all I have at this time.
All right, sir, we thank you. Step right up, sir.
Hi, my name is Doug Warner with Element, representing Big Trips LLC for Branch Way. Conditional use 1739, which as you've heard is a conditional use request in a GR zoning for 6 units, multifamily, which are 3 twin home buildings on this 1.66 acre lot. The parcel is 33413-105.02. Lewis and Rehoboth 100 in Sussex County, Delaware. As we indicated, the site is located on Munchie Branch Road, which is County Road 270A, a little bit northeast of, if you know where Webster's Furniture and the Safeway intersection is on Route 1 toward in between Rehoboth and Lewis. The area is 1.66 acres, plus or minus. As we indicated, it's a GR, general residential zoning right now. And we are proposing 3 units, three buildings, 2 units in each building approximately 56 by 50 feet, and we'll get into that a little bit more on the plan. It will be served by county sewer, and Tidewater would be the water supply for this. The primary intent here, from our perspective in this, is, and we kind of looked at this from a subdivision of single-family type residential units in here, was to take it into a multifamily direction for two reasons. One is to come up with something that we think is slightly more affordable or even has the potential for some rental units in here. And then from the environmental side of this, try to limit the number of buildings that we'd be putting in here. Each one of the twin home buildings is give or take equivalent to a single family type of home. So by coming in here with six units, spreading some of the cost of the infrastructure, which would be about the same for a single family subdivision, spread that all across to some units, a couple more units, as well as come in with less buildings to have less impact to the particular site. So that's kind of our general rationale for requesting this conditional use. Right now, it's a single-family residence. It's got an auxiliary building in the back of it. The site is probably, it's about 0.6 acres of forested land out of the 1.66. And I do want to point out one thing. The black and white engineering drawings that you have in your package, slightly different than the rendering that you see. Nothing of any significance, but I do want to point out that rendering was done slightly before, and we made some revisions to the application, and I can point out some of those things. But basically what we have is the Munchie Branch along the eastern side here, forested area up in here, which in this particular image, the existing trees do come into part of where this twin home is being proposed. Of the 0.6 acres of forested land, close to 0.4 of that is in the wetland area and in the Munchie Branch area. We have a wetland, non-tidal wetland boundary, which kind of coincides a little bit with this tree line here, and you'll see that on your engineering drawings in a little bit more detail. And then we do have the 100-year floodplain, which again coincides with about halfway between this tree line and the center line of Munchie Branch. And that's at about elevation 7. This topo goes up pretty high up into this area, up into where we'll be setting first floors up at around 17 to 20. Above that flood elevation. So there's no structures being proposed in that particular area. The density that we're proposing here is 3.6 units per acre. In this GR, just looking at it from a 10,000 square foot perspective per lot, you're at about 4 units per acre. So per code, we could get 7 in here, if you want to look at it from that perspective. We're at 6 units in here. We did do some single-family layouts and had about 5 lots in here pretty comfortably that we'd be willing to probably get some, you could probably sell. And then in looking at that, they started to get a little compact, started to get a little bit tighter to the wetlands and things of that nature, and we migrated more toward this particular design. It is a condominium ownership type of setup so that the bulk building setback lines that you'll see will be running 40 along Munchie Branch Road. The buffers on the right-hand side, we have a 50-foot buffer from the center line of the stream. That is a requirement. We're running 15 to 50 feet or greater for the actual wetland. The wetland's a little bit up on the high side of the stream bank. And then we are running 40 feet. Originally, the plan was set up to actually be fee simple lots. And in going for the conditional use, what was determined through Lawrence's outfit there is that we had to go to a condominium ownership. So what you'll see there is that we have a 50-foot right-of-way, we have 40-foot building setbacks minimum from that right-of-way, and then 40-foot building separation on the plan as well. Okay. Other thing to point out, the way this is designed now is the topo goes from the west side, falls down toward the branch. This road will be designed, as I indicated, 50-foot right-of-way, two 12-foot travel lanes for a fire marshal to give us a total of 24-foot of pavement. We're going to anticipating some curbing on the eastern side and the road sloping in that direction with some curb cuts that would then lead to three different stormwater management practices in between the homes. Slight depressions, the quantity that we need to maintain there is pretty small, but we would detain the 2- and 10-year storms in these areas and then have those discharge into Munchie Branch. The buildings that we're looking at here, as I indicated, are 56, footprint that you see is about 56 feet wide, 50 deep. And although we are permitted, I believe, if we were to go forward, is a 42-foot height limit, what we're looking at here is a two-story structure to blend in with the surrounding area. The roads and streets, again, would be private. They would meet the county requirements. The small nature of the site didn't require TIS or anything of that nature. We did have our engineers and Orth Rogers and Associates look at the design, and basically the following the code through DelDOT's latest design manual, it's a typical what we call a hammerhead entrance there. No bypass lanes, no turn lanes or anything of that nature would be required for the additional traffic flow here. The parking that we have in here, at the time we were actually looking at the old code, or thinking about the three units, three parking spaces per unit, so that the driveways can accommodate, each driveway will probably be a common driveway or something very similar, each driveway can accommodate two parking spaces per unit, and with the option of having a third parking space in the garage. But with the requirement of two per unit, we like to have the ability to have three, but sometimes people utilize their garage. So we have set the homes back far enough to give us at least 40 feet there to provide two ample parking spots for each unit. As I indicated, the stormwater management is pretty straightforward. Individual stormwater ponds that will be basically depression swales with some meadow grasses and things of that nature in there. No open water ponds will be required here due to the low quantity of water that we need to capture. Septic, county sewer, you'll see in your particular attachment here in the back, we have a letter from the county indicating that there's a 6.64 EDU allotment for this particular parcel, and serving the six units that we're proposing. That letter was dated May 21st of 08. And you also find in your booklet here a willing and able letter from Tidewater to service this property for water supply as well. We've submitted some HOA documents, draft form documents in there that address maintenance of the stormwater ponds, maintenance of the roads, and of the common grounds as well. I'd like to point out to you a couple things in here in your booklet, kind of starting on kind of backwards here, but starting on page 10, what I want to kind of indicate is at least the style of twin home in here, although this is categorized as a multifamily home, our design intent is to try and simulate that of the surrounding areas. And I wanted to point out some of the uses that are in this general area, starting with the zoning map on page 10. You'll see Branch Way in a GR zone. Across the street from it, you'll see some properties that are zoned C1 and B1. In that particular area. And then within close proximity to that, you have the commercial zones and high-density residential zones of Route 1. Going to page 9, going backwards, I don't quite know why it's backwards, but this is just an aerial photograph pointing out some of the surrounding commercial industrial plans and commercial industrial sites that are around here. There's a truck salvage yard across the street from here. There's a Coastal Cuts and a graphics place, an auto repair store not too far from here. And then there's kind of a dual-purpose home/roofing company that is adjacent to this particular property. So we felt as though this was not too much out of character in going forward for this area. There's a few other maps in here indicating some of the plus land uses that are proposed in the general area, showing multifamily uses, in particular Beach Haven, which is right behind Webster's Furniture. There's condominiums there and townhouses along with Seabright. And then as the bird flies, not too far away would be the Creekwood, which has a mixture of stacked flat apartments, condominiums, and townhomes is there as well. So I just want to point out some of those items in terms of its compatibility of this proposed use with the surrounding area. I'm not quite sure it's required here as per the subdivision code, but contained in the booklet is our attempt at answering some of the design philosophies and intents of the subdivision code 99-9C, the 17 items in there. I'm going to mention for the record that that's there. I don't think that we necessarily need to go through all of that, but I do want to highlight again that The site is fitting in with the character of the terrain. No wetlands are being disturbed. We're maintaining the buffers as required by the state and slightly larger. No floodplain issues. Basically going with the flow of the ground and the terrain there. And through the compatibility of the neighboring properties, we've tried to demonstrate that we think these twin homes will fit in here and really serve a purpose for this general area. So in summary, conditional use, we're requesting multifamily homes for twin homes, again, with the intent of trying to come up with something that's a little bit different, gives a first chance, first-time buyer a chance to buy something in this area, or even progress maybe to a rent-to-buy type of situation as well as trying to capitalize on a little less pervious surface with only three buildings in here versus coming in with some single-family homes or mobile homes or something to that effect in this particular site. So I'll, it's a brief overview, but I'll entertain any questions.
Mr. Wheatley, I have one before we...
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Because I want to make sure that the record's clear on this. You said that the 99C information's in there. I see the supporting information, but the only thing that I've got in mind is the wetland delineation report. There's not the 99C responses. So the sewer...
Looking forward to.
Yeah, the sewer willingness to serve letter.
I have an additional copy that maybe there's something wrong there that I can leave with you for the record that has that information. I apologize if it's not in there. It certainly... should be in there.
Do you have a copy of that?
No.
Huh. It's, do you have the fold-out pages in there?
Yeah.
Then there's a few photos on page 19 and 20.
Yeah.
And then there's a page 21.
Uh-huh.
And then after that's nothing?
There's the wetland and Envirotech wetland delineation, but there's not the 1, 2, and 3 that are listed in the table.
Right.
Just the page.
I got page 21, that's it.
There's not the willing to serve letters or anything.
Right.
Somebody can go.
This is
1, 2, or 3.
Can I submit this? Have these all flagged in here? This was my particular copy. I can go through that for you, folks. That's not a problem.
Yeah, Mr. Robertson, I hate to do this, but we can't accept that in a written form. If you want it, you're going to have to read it into the record.
The problem is there's a 10-day rule that says all that has to be submitted so that members of the public have an opportunity to see it and what's in the file.
If you want it on the record, I'm afraid you're going to have to read it, and we're going to have to listen to it.
Okay. So. Well, I'm going to start. I'd like to start with the willingness to serve letters first, and I can read in here letter dated May 21st, 2008. From West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District, tax map parcel number 334-13-105.02. It is their file number 0M-9.04. Concerning the conditional use application, Sussex County Engineering Department has yet to see an application on this parcel. However, we are providing this letter per your request to provide the EDU allotments. The parcel mentioned above is in the West Rehoboth Sewer District, and per our planning study has been allotted 6.64 EDUs at build-out. There is an existing 6-inch lateral serving the parcel. Should you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our office. Sincerely, Mrs. Laura Hudson, planning technician. Number two, willing and able letter, Branchway Subdivision from Tidewater Utilities to Element Design Group. Tidewater Utilities is willing and able to serve public water, including fire protection if required, to the following parcels identified as tax map parcel 334-13-105.02, based on the terms and conditions of a water service agreement to be negotiated at a later point in time. A little bit of supplemental information after that, and it's signed Emily Oakdyke, Planning and Development Assistant. You do have the wetland delineation report in there?
Yes.
The only thing we don't have that you reference now is the chapter 99-9C response.
Okay. I'd like to just briefly go through that then for you. Item number one, integration of the proposed subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. I think from a surrounding landscape and terrain perspective, as we discussed a little bit earlier, keeping the natural topography, getting the existing water to drain as it is toward Munchie Branch, and in some cases actually detaining some of this water and eliminating some erosion control, we feel that we've met that requirement. As well, I've shown that in terms of the surrounding landscape, what we're seeing here is on the east side, the buffer and the viewscape basically remains the same. From the Munchie Branch side, we've kept the structures a minimum of 40 foot off the property line. And then on the west side, we'll have a little bit of landscaping there, and the view coming in will be to the front of these homes. So we think we've established that criteria as well. Number two, minimum use of wetlands and floodplains. No wetlands are impacted by this, and no structures will be built in any floodplain. Preservation of natural and historical features. There have been no natural or historical features identified on this site that would be impacted. Preservation of open space and scenic views. At the build-out of this, there would be 1.12 acres of open space, 69% of the site. That does include the stormwater ponds. That includes the wetland areas. The only thing that does not include is the building and the asphalt. So that would be 69% of that. Scenic views, as I just indicated for item number one, are basically relatively staying the same as is out there now. Minimization of tree, vegetation, and soil removal and grade changes. The predominant amount of development on the site is being done in what is the lawn areas or the non-treed areas here. There are 0.6 acres of trees on here, and the balance of that, which is about 0.4 acres, will remain. And of what's coming out of there, most of that is actually not even very mature trees. Grade changes will be minimum as the natural slope to the creek will remain the same. Screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. Again, I refer back to what we just said in terms of the buffers on the east with the Munchie Branch and the wetlands, the building setbacks, and then the landscaping on the west. Number seven, provisions for water supply. For the record, we've read in the Tidewater utility for supply there. Number eight, provisions for sewage disposal, and we've read in for the record there the ability to have 6.6 EDUs for this particular site. Number nine, prevention of pollution and surface and groundwater. We will be in compliance with all of the requirements from the Conservation District and DENREC in terms of pollution control strategies with our stormwater management practices. Number 10, minimization of erosion and sedimentation, minimization of changes in groundwater levels, minimization of increased rates of runoff. Again, through the practices that we are implementing here with actually detaining some of this stormwater management, letting it go at pre-development rates, post-development rates that are less than pre-development rates, we believe we'll be meeting that requirement as well. In addition to some of the conversation you had earlier about silt fences and things of that nature, we'll have an approved erosion and sediment control plan through the Conservation District. Exact type of silt fence, TBD at this point in time. But again, it will be through an approved plan. Provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent roadways. Basically, the site is a slight increase in traffic here. We have not implemented sidewalks in this particular community. The front home has very limited access to using a sidewalk, and as you progress back, we think that the amount of traffic and flow that would be there really doesn't warrant that amount of impervious surface coming into play here. Effect on area property values, through some of the maps and some of the things that we've demonstrated, we feel as though this particular use is in conjunction with some of the surrounding use and certainly won't have a detrimental effect on the surrounding property values. Number 13, preservation and conservation of farmland. This is basically a reuse site. There is no farmland on this site. We're concentrating development into an area that we all are looking to concentrate it into, keeping the farmland unused. So I think that's a real plus for this particular application. 14, effects on schools, public buildings, and community facilities. 6 additional units. Probably top target market here may be some younger, you know, first home buyers. Kids won't be a big deal at this point in time. Total numbers aren't too impactful to the schools. And also want to point out the access of this site to both the Breakwater Junction Trail, using community facility there, as well as, and this ties into the next one, is close proximity to some of the public transportation that's available on Route 1 as well. Compatibility with other land uses, I believe we've discussed that. And effect on area waterways, we've discussed that as well. We'll be in compliance and probably reduce pollutants on this particular site leading into Branch Way. So I apologize for that painful portion there. And
you have to create a record. It's okay. This is your time to talk, and we're going to hear from these folks here in a minute.
Appreciate your patience.
Okay. So would you provide us with a copy of that?
And if you
absolutely
would.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I can put it in a minute.
Now that you've put it into the record, if you would give that copy to Mr. Lang.
I can do that.
That'll,
let me take any of my stickies that say anything bad about you out of here first. And,
I don't care. Yeah. You just don't know what I get called.
Okay, well, we appreciate your presentation. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lang, question
sir.
For you, sir. What's the number of units permitted on a GR?
Well, the applicant would be right. If you're looking at density, it could be 4.35 units per acre.
4.35?
Could be. But if you're doing a subdivision, it's going to be based on design. And I believe he stated he's done several subdivision concepts and came up with what I thought he said was 5 as a subdivision. But if you're doing a cluster, you're doing a conditional use, you're basing it on design, on calculation of square of units by density.
Thank you.
Mr. Warner?
Might want to step up?
Step up here, Mr. Johnson.
You might have a couple questions for
you, sir. Got a couple questions for you.
I was cleaning up the notes.
Go ahead.
While you're cleaning up your notes, I'd like some clarification on page 12. You talk about your gross density.
Yes.
0.55 units per acre.
Yeah, that's my... That is incorrect. That is, and I read that correctly into the record. We're at, that's buildings per acre, by the way. I had the person incorrectly calculate that. The density, and I'll read that in again, is 3.6 units per acre on this site.
That's closer to what I got.
Yeah, absolutely. 0.55.
If you take my calculator, or
yeah, if you take three buildings and divide it by 1.66, that's what we got there.
Okay, thank you.
It's a whole lot of people in trouble.
And I might add that on your site plan, I guess it's the 1, 2, 3, the fourth one.
Sir.
Of course, it took my magnifying glass to read that, but I think you also had a problem there with your number of units. On that as well. Let me.
I apologize. We submitted 10 full-size sets to the commission.
Yeah, that's also is quoting the 0.55.
Yeah, but proposed
0.55 buildings per acre. Okay.
No, I mean it's clear. It's 6 units, 3 buildings, 2 units per building.
Which one are you looking at, Mr. Johnson? Just
the fourth one.
Fourth one.
Yeah, you might need my magnifying glass to read it.
Yeah, Mr. John, that says 0.55 buildings per acre in
right.
That particular one there. That's
okay.
Correct.
And the buildings are, what, the 2,600 square feet?
Yes.
So
it's a 50 by 56 foot. That's the footprint that's listed
footprint
there. That's
the building.
Correct.
But how big are the units are you proposing?
We have a similar type of unit that we've used that are somewhere in the... heated square footage between around 1,900 square feet heated. Most of the time what we've been seeing in this particular area is like a master bedroom down, a couple spare bedrooms upstairs, a two-story product with at least a one-car garage in there. That's what's envisioned for this area, for this particular project.
Okay.
So you're saying 1,800 square foot livable space?
Heated space is how we, no garage wouldn't necessarily be included, but that, that's the target area there.
Include porches usually either.
Correct.
And you're proposing two parking spaces per unit?
Yeah, the driveways, that is correct. The driveways have enough space. As you'll see on your plan that you looked at on page four, the proposed driveway area there is a common driveway where we would basically, what you see in that asphalt area, you can park four cars in there, 10 by 20 parking space there with the additional park in the garage as well.
So four parking spots.
Right, I believe the requirement is two per unit.
Right.
Yes, we have two outside of the garage off of the street.
Okay. And one of the concerns I had in visiting the site was the slope of the property. What kind of means or protection could be implemented in terms of the construction that would prevent the runoff and the pollution of the wetlands?
Off the top of my head, I don't know the exact requirement for the super silt fence, but there's certainly going to be silt fence requirement on that backside for runoff. The limits of disturbance will be, clearly defined just barely outside of the homes. Silt fence is the primary BMP that is used for that action right now. We're actually implementing and have worked with the Conservation District on a couple greener technologies, compost sock, as they call it, that actually has more filtering capabilities. And so there could be some other things implemented here, but again, they will all be implemented through approved SCD BMPs.
And in the beginning of your presentation, you were talking about the elevation.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe one of the elevations you were talking about was about 24 feet.
Yeah, if you go to page four there, if we start at page three of the 11 by 17s, you'll see that at about halfway, going left to right, about halfway through the site, you'll see elevation 15, 14, 13, 12, 11. It starts to go downhill from about halfway, through the site going left to right. And then, again, it kind of slopes from the street going backwards a little bit as well. So going to page four, you'll see that, again, this is kind of early on in the design, but you'll see building number one, first floor elevation is 17.15. Probably going to be built on a crawl space, have a couple steps coming into there. And then it'd slope off the back as well as kind of rise as you go away from the street. Good potential here for maybe some walkout basements. They give you some views of the Munchie Branch area and the wetlands, kind of TBD at this point in time. The flood zone elevation there, the 100-year flood zone elevation, is indicated as elevation 7, just to calibrate you as to where the structures would be.
So are you talking about retaining walls or?
No, sir. At this stage of the engineering that we've done, we are not talking about retaining walls. Once we get further into the design and set the first floors a little harder, that could be something that happens, but that's not what we're envisioning now. No, sir.
And what trees would you anticipate having to be removed?
Yeah, if you go again back to page three, you'll see, magnifying glass there, but at the top, left-hand corner, as you work from left to right, you'll see that the existing tree line starts at about the middle of the property, okay? And there is about, and then the rest of the tree line really gets down into the slopes at about 11, 10, 9 on down. So there's about 0.2 acres worth of trees, plus or minus, in the northern portion of the site that would have to be removed for building number three.
But for building number one and two, you wouldn't...
The existing tree line, I can point out to here, this existing tree line follows this and then kind of jukes out this way and comes up into here. So this is the primary impact on the existing tree line would be building number three. This is a topo line number 7, 8, 10. This tree line is right in this particular area going backwards. I don't believe it's impacted until you get up in past building two.
Yeah, looking at building number three, where would the wetlands be?
Oh, the wetlands are all at this building number three, and you'll see it, there is about a 15-foot buffer from the wetland line. If you look at page four, if you look at the upper right-hand corner of building three, there is about 12 to 15 feet to where the wetland boundary is there. That's our narrowest point. And then it continues to get wider as the wetlands pretty much match on the upside of the stream, match the flow of the stream down the right-hand property line. There is a 50-foot non-tidal stream buffer that is from the, mandated from the stream that give or take coincides with the wetland line. And again, that's about where the 100-year floodplain line, all those lines are kind of following the same path right in that area. You know, our intent there was, again, with the was to, with the multi condominium association with the multifamilies, is to have a little bit more control over this than per se per a single family.
Working about it.
Yeah. I have no further questions this time, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Burton,
what is your price point on these units? You mentioned they'd be affordable units. Do you have an idea where the price point would be?
I couldn't hear you.
The price point of the
I can't hear you.
I think they were talking low 200s up into maybe 300. Again, one of the other options that this particular client is a local business owner in Rehoboth and is looking potentially to maybe maintain one or two of these units and rent them possibly for some of his employees as well. That's another concept. But again, with the market and we haven't followed, you know, Sussex County's affordable housing program or anything to that respect. It's just really trying to come up with a slightly different offering in this area. There are quite a few mobile homes around this area in the GR districts, and we thought that this just gave a person a different option as opposed to getting into the higher end twin homes and townhomes that get closer into Rehoboth and Lewis.
Thank you. You mentioned that that there was no DLDOT approval needed for this entrance, but it is part of the bike path road going.
Yeah, I'll rephrase that. There was no TIS, no traffic impact study required due to the low volume. The DLDOT entrance will have to be submitted. The entrance will have to be submitted to DLDOT for their review from their subdivision department.
Didn't you mention that to use your word, a hammerhead type?
Yeah.
So there was no curb or deceleration lane needed?
That's correct. Based on their traffic manual, where you calculate the amount of ADTs, average daily traffic flow, that comes in and out of a particular site, once you get up to somewhere around 40 units, that's when you start to get kicked into decel lanes and bypass lanes because there's more people coming in and out. At this low volume, it's basically a typical, you know, there are no shoulders you have to put in to bypass that. Now, is DLDOT going to say we want you to improve a little bit of that road along your frontage? Probably most likely. But per the ADTs in your traffic manual, there are no bypass lanes or left-hand turn lanes or anything to that effect required.
Would you have enough room to do the multimodal, 10-foot multimodal path and the right-of-way that's been required?
Well, we have to allocate another 5 feet right-of-way just to meet their class of road. The existing road doesn't meet their right-of-way width, so we're allocating 5 there, and then certainly can provide the easement. We have a 40-foot setback from that. So what happens is the first building is actually 45 feet minimum from the current right-of-way. So we'll be dedicating 5, and then we would give the 15-foot typical multimodal to DLDOT for their request.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Gordy.
So these units, are they going to be compatible to a single family? I mean, they're going to look like single family?
That's our intent. And if there's an image in here, and again, this isn't, I hope you have it in your book, but on page 20, you'll see, and again, Seabright Townhouse is something we have, that's not our project or anything, not saying we'd use that architecture, but with a two-story type of structure, limiting it to that, and we'd be willing to limit it to that in this application. I think it blends in with a typical two-story Cape Codish type of look or whatever architecture style
right.
For the area.
But it won't stick out?
I don't believe so.
Okay. That's all the question I have.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of my questions have been answered. I do have one. Perhaps you went over it. Where's the outfall for the stormwater management ponds?
It will be at basically each one of these ponds will have an outfall structure at the end, and then there will either be a swale that leads into the branch, the Munchie Branch Creek here, or it could potentially be piped in here, depending on obviously trying to minimize the impact through the treat area to get to the creek. But the creek is the ultimate outfall for these three small BMPs. And we've actually had some dialogue with Conservation District because we were wondering if we had the potential for a request, a waiver on quantity management. And through them, they said, no, we need to retain the 2- and 10-year storms in that application. So they were acceptable with Munchie Branch as an outfall for us.
Is there any type of nutrient loading protocol that's required on this on these small ponds?
Off the top of my head, I don't know if this is in one of Denrec's TMDL reduction zones, but the BMPs that are in place here will be reducing the phosphorus and the nitrogen in here, and if there's a particular requirement, we'll certainly meet that.
Mm-hmm. And for those that have an interest in this and may not be familiar with your acronyms, the BMPs would be
best management practice, just meaning different type of solution, open water ponds or BMP, biofiltration, sand filters that you heard earlier tonight are all different types of BMPs.
And the buffer that you had suggested from the wetland, does that stay outside of the building footprint?
Yes, sir.
It does.
Yeah, there's a 50-foot mandated buffer from mean high water line of the stream. We're not infringing upon that. And then the wetland line that is there, we have 12 to 15 feet at the uppermost corner here to that wetland line. And then that wetland line kind of follows this tree line, so you can see it gets bigger and bigger as the distance gets bigger and bigger to the wetland line from the structure as you go toward the south.
Will there be restrictions or notices if this was acted on favorably in any deed or covenants that would preclude future homeowners if this was acted on favorably from doing clearing back in that buffered area?
Yeah, because that's going to be, and that was one of the other reasons to go with the condominium association, is that the group of people through the HOA would have more control over the common open space than if this was, say, subdivided into fee simple lots. People have kind of the realm to do what they'd like to do. So that would be managed by the HOA.
That's all. Answer. Thank you, Mr. Legg.
No question.
Council.
No questions.
Council.
No questions.
I have one more question.
Okay, Mr. Johnson.
Have you had any discussion with Denrec and their wetlands section concerning the layout of these units and any possible impact on the wetlands?
No specific discussion with them, no, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Warner, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1739, Eric Segrew Big Trips LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1739? Yes, sir, you'll be first. Come on up, give us your name. You may have the floor. You've all been waiting very patiently, just about three and a quarter hours.
Yeah, well, I'll try not to take as long as some of my previous predecessors here.
You take all the time you need. I don't have to be anywhere till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
That sounds like a good thing. Although, I don't think you want to sit in that seat till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
I'm not going to.
My name is Mike Robertson. I live in Shady Ridge, and to the best of my knowledge, I'm a real Delawarean, but I don't think I'm related to him. I'm not sure. I was all prepared to, you know, make a presentation here, but after he finished, he pretty much gave me a whole new avenue instead.
Okay.
One of the, if I can approach the board over there, yeah, and right, so you can hear me.
Do what you need to do to speak up.
The Munchie Branch comes down through here, as you're well aware. Hmm? My wife and I, Randy Gross, and the Shady Ridge back up to this.
Okay.
The elevation here is about 25 to 27 feet above the top of the creek. However, we're below that. We're down by the creek. And I have some pictures to show you out of my neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you didn't get the letter for one reason or the other from Randy Gross, the Shady Ridge Association, or mine. Hmm. My concern is I'm fairly well versed on runoff ponds and runoff. Already, there is an existing problem because they are on top of us and running down. Now, the areas around it, as he said, it would fit into the surrounding areas. If you have a map, you can look around. Let me see here where mine is. Oh, here it is. Where you have Curie Estates, Shady Ridge, Fieldwood, and Truevale, they're all individual family homes. They're on quarter-acre lots to half an acre. These houses are going to be turned away from the road and blocked in here very close. And when he was doing his math, I'm like you. I couldn't quite figure out the math either. You got 1.66. You've got this much is already taken away because it's the wetlands. You're also going to set back another 5 feet here, and he's going to have a roadway and no sidewalks for these people to get in to egress from their places. Now, there are no sidewalks along the roadway. I can understand that. But they're saying possibly 2 to 3 cars for each one, 18 automobiles potentially coming out onto a road. We had Pete Schwarzkopf out about 2 years ago to help us with a problem up at the first intersection, which is a long curve. He also tried to get something done about at the base of the road where it comes down by Howard's construction. And it's a long turn. It goes right over top of Munchie Branch. We've had trouble keeping that in there right at the moment. And the state has no designs on fixing that anytime soon. I'm concerned with the water runoff on this. When you have that much blacktop and that much, and he's already talking about sloping it there, and we have a 17, if he grades it properly, it'd be at 17 feet. But that 17-foot drop down on us in on Munchie's court, you can have these pictures if you'd like to do whatever. But that's that silt fence right there is actually at the water line. And the tree line right above it is the backup of that property right on to us. So we're down below them. So any water that comes down from there is going to go into Munchie Branch, and it's going to come right down on us. Now, I'm in the 100-year floodplain. When we built our home down there, they're all new homes down in there, and they range from anywhere from 275 on up to 300, and we have some in there, 4, and another one that's listed at 5. I'm not sure that this is the actual economic area to put this in. Yes, people have to have a place to live. I have no problem with that. Or people with certain economics should be able to live anywhere. But when they back up to two neighborhoods like that, we have restrictions in ours that we cannot have multi-use family in Shady Ridge. It's in Curie Estates. I'm not sure about Fieldwood or the one across the street. Those I'm not sure about because I don't know. So I can't answer for them. There was one more thing. When we had DelDOT down, they're not going to put a light up on that curb. We've had 3 accidents to date. I've been there 5 years, and they've been 3 serious accidents come around the curve. And my concern is going down into that curve and having the potential of somebody coming out. And I'm not sure, because we have 2 businesses on the road, the nearest multi-use family we have is down behind Webster's Furniture, which is almost a mile and a quarter away, unless my speedometer is off. I really don't think this is what we need down in this area to do anymore. I'm just really, really concerned with that water runoff, and I keep hearing, you know, maybe my calculations are not correct, and I could take a calculator and calculate that, and that is really dense use for 1.66 acres, and you're going to take almost 1.2, my best guess, on the wetlands. So now you're going to push those up on, and I don't think that's, and on top of it, if they're three stories, they're going to be looking right down on top of us and the people in Fieldwood. I would, if I was in Fieldwood, I'd be extremely upset. So that's all I have. Hopefully.
All right, sir. We thank you.
All right. Mr. Wheatley, just one thing. Mr. Robertson?
Yes. No, we're not related, honestly.
I'm strange saying that. I wanted to let you know that your letter is in the file along with Mr. Gross's. I don't think Mr. Lank referenced it.
Yeah,
it
but Shady Ridge didn't show up because that was the one we were most concerned with, why it wasn't
Kenneth
there.
Walls too.
Yeah, yes, okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
They're part of the record.
So we've got
although we're in Delaware, we may be related.
We won't hold that against you.
Thanks.
It will be referenced as part of the minutes.
Yeah.
Who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Come right up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Kathleen Steitner is my name. I live at 2100 Fieldcrest Drive. I am directly behind this proposed site. This is my bedroom right here.
Mm-hmm.
Next to the new driveway.
Mm-hmm.
There was an extra I wanted to point out also that on that petition, I started that petition, and there is the last page had maybe 7 or 8 signatures, so there is more than 102 signatures on that petition.
I need 7 more.
Okay, I was talking about the number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I should have been an engineer. I'm so sorry I didn't go to school for that now after this evening. I've learned so much. My mind is swimming. But I've written something that I'd like to present, and hopefully you'll listen. The Cape Gazette reported in the June 24th issue that this council put a stamp on approval on a much-debated, edited, and rewritten comprehensive land use plan, all stemming from a meeting that you held June 18th. Hal Godwin stated in the Cape Gazette, quotes, the county looks at incentives rather than restrictions, and that is a basic theme throughout the plan. You pointed out the expedited reviews and small increases in density for developers who voluntarily adopt green standards as prescribed by environmental groups. Another key feature the Cape Gazette reports is a set of 23 ordinances, which is stated as the driving force of this new county comprehensive land use plan. Proposed ordinances, which include the transfer of development rights, source water protection, creation of agricultural and agribusiness zones, a clearer definition of open space, new buffer regulations, and updated development standards to include green site designs. Mr. Lawrence Lank, director of the Planning and Zoning, said consultants are already writing the new ordinances. How will these new ordinances affect this proposed hearing of the Eric Shagrew Big Trip LLC plans? The basic themes of the plan, the Cape Gazette stated, are directly development of the areas with or near community services, preserving the county's agricultural, economic, and farmland, protecting natural resources, encouraging tourism and other responsible job providers, and ensuring that new developments incorporate open space and best design practices. The state wants the county officials to reconsider their stand on the agricultural residential density of 2 units to 1 acre. As a neighbor and concerned citizen living directly behind the proposed 6-unit development, I am strongly opposed to this density level Big Trips has designed as placing on 1.66 acres. I am in question of what the plans really are now that the property across the creek has now gone up for sale. Is Big Trips also planning to purchase this property? His documents to the county already indicate additional land use acquisition with future development. Will it remain as a multi-family residential, or will he want to start commercial rezoning? Where is the buffer for the wetlands and the branch? And I've learned more about that this evening. This also, as we talked about earlier, is in a 100-year floodplain. Well, we've all seen around the country that 100-year floodplain records are being broken left and right. this is not going to be any different for Munchie Branch. Where are the green standards Big Trip's plans to use in the proposed 6 units, if that's what he truly wants? Has he been in touch with prescribed environmental groups? What are the new buffer regulations? 100 feet from the wetlands, as the ordinance were saying, 50 feet? Where are the updated development standards to include green site design? 3-story condos is what you originally had asked for, in a maximum 26 to 28 feet in height of current dwellings is inconsistent with the character of the neighborhood and would adversely impact the valuation of all the residences in this already multi-development. In a matter of traffic concern, Munchie Branch is too small of a road to handle any more additional traffic. Records indicate that the last traffic study was done 2006, and that was before the state deemed Munchie Branch Road as the designated road for bicyclists to ride to the new Lewis Rehoboth pedestrian and bicycle trail at Wolf Neck. The slope of the curve above the creek is dangerous enough, as one person has already missed the curve and ended up running his car into a home. The intersection of Field Road, Munchie Branch, and Shady Ridge is not an ideal situation at best. This past summer, several Russian students were mugged on Munchie Branch Road because there is no shoulders on Munchie Branch Road. It is just 2 lanes. There's no room for bicyclists, there's no room for joggers, there's no room for the cars, the scooters, now that everybody is buying because of the gas prices. We also could, upon the many storms that happen at the bottom of the curve where the creek is in the ditch, DelDOT has been very proactive about taking care of this section of the road and the creek below. Will they be as active when earth has been moved and with these 6 units as proposed today and land altered around the wetlands? From the Wawa on Route 1, additional traffic has now been rerouted as visitors, tourists, and locals must use the road to come southbound on Route 1, dodging these bicyclists, rollerbladers, scooter people, and joggers. With no sidewalks anywhere, no shoulders on the road, rezoning in this area is a jeopardy to safety for all people. How will this impact the sewer system? Well, I learned a little bit about that tonight, so I'll study harder on that. But it sounded like 77 people for the Murray property, or 71 people on the Murray property going on the same sewer system. Now here's another 6 more. I've already heard that it's overloaded and overtaxed. Had Mr. Chagrou been a good neighbor up to this point, maybe we wouldn't have such opposition. His standards of his property, of the way he keeps his property at this point, has a blatant neglect where the grass is almost a year old. His tenants throw trash in the yard where wildlife now roams to gather food. And it does not indicate to me that with these condos, any living and living directly behind this 1.66 acres, my peace and serenity are about to be shattered with, in his declarations of restrictions and easements, he says 4 animals will be allowed in each unit. So that means to me 4 barking dogs. That's 24 dogs barking. When does this overdevelopment end? I'd also want to learn about, Mr. Warner mentioned nothing about the buffer to the rear of the property, building number 3. There's also a Fieldwood buffer behind my land. I didn't hear anything about that, and I would like to know more about that. I certainly do not see where this conditional use is in accordance with the comprehensive development plan that promotes health, safety, morals, consciousness, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present or future inhabitants of Sussex County, and I request it remain a single-family dwelling. Many letters have been written to you and faxed, and the petition, as you well know. I know the next hearing is June 29th at 1:30. What may I expect at that hearing, and how much of the woods and the wetlands are going to be gone? Thank you.
Ma'am, can you submit that? I don't know.
could I write it nicer? Could I type it up, maybe?
Okay, all right. Mr. Lang says he's
got it. What you should do is basically write it or type it and submit it to council.
I certainly will. Thank you very much.
The hearing is talked about at 1:30. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Yes, ma'am. Step right up. In the pink. Do we look excited to you, ma'am?
And 30 cents to get, $73.30 to get it. It's five dollars a page for the maps each. And here's my receipt right here. But first of all, I want to go over to that map. I live next door.
Oh, ma'am, you need to give us your name. And.
Oh, Faye Marsh. I live next door to Eric Sugaro.
Okay.
Fortunately.
All right.
Okay, I can give you this, and this is what I'm going to talk about, plus also when he purchased the land, that's what it looked like.
Okay.
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 This is the upkeep. It's from, the grass is from last year, and it just keeps growing. Mm. This is the receipt. But first of all, I'm going to walk over here because this is misleading.
Did you want Mr. Lang to reimburse you for this, or?
No, that's okay. But I was happy to know that everything wasn't in there, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the pictures I showed you, the split rail fence is mine.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
That's on the property line.
Right there, right?
Okay, what is on the property line here, 10 feet over where he has his shrubs, or trees, whatever they are, is the sewer line. It's from the property line on over 10 feet. Maybe he doesn't know this. Doesn't care. Mr. Sugaru has big fish. He has had his employees living in that place. There was other people that called about the surrounding area, but because I lived right
next... Mr. Sugaru has what? I didn't hear what you said.
He has big fish and another restaurant. So he has
his
employees living there right now.
Okay.
And
I was trying to figure out what the Big Fish had to do with it.
Yeah.
But I got
well, he's the owner of Big Fish and another one, and his employees live there.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't call about the grass or anything about a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. I was leaving my driveway. I have two driveways. I was leaving the one down by there. And there was one of his employees out there urinating at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the side of the house. So when I pulled out on my the road, I looked over there. Sure enough, that's what he was doing. So I called back.
I'm sorry, ma'am. You went by and you thought you saw him, and then you
I was
came
going,
back.
No. I was going.
To
I have
sure.
a. Okay. I go around. My driveway goes around my house. Uh-huh. I was at the back of my driveway.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I was going out on that side, and as I'm going out that side, I see this man standing this far from the house. Doesn't take a genius to figure out what he was doing. When I pulled out on the road, I looked over. He looked over. Sure enough, that's what he was doing. I got on my cell phone. I was very upset. I called the person that lives with me. Oh, so I turned around at Carl's Corner. I went back in. I'm so upset. I'm still talking on my phone. I close it up. He goes, Faye, there's nothing, you know, they're going to do about it. Just let it go. So I went on, off. About 20 minutes to a half hour later, he is leaving. There's another one out there doing the same thing. He called the state police, and then they did come out. When they seen the state police, they closed everything up. They had been sitting in the driveway. This is what they do. They sit in the driveway or in the garage with their cars out there, with their boom boxes going. And we've been putting up with this, you know, and to say he's a slumlord and he cares anything about the community, it isn't going to happen. There was no Del Dot on this right here. That is from Miller Lewis Incorporated. It is dated February 8th, 2006. It says, notes, all side and rear lot lines are reserved for the center line of a 10-foot wide drainage and or utility easement. Number two, contour elevations based on 1988 NGVD. Now, I'm sorry, but when somebody like, I mean, it's not like an ordinary person wants to do something. They come over here, they're ignorant to the fact. But when you submit something from 1988, it should be handed back to the people and say, you know, when you get this updated, then, you know, we'll consider it. Okay. DelDOT, there was a information in there, traffic study, impact study, not recommended. It is a small road. I have lived on that road since March of 89. There's been quite a few accidents on Munchie Branch going through the mobile home that was there before a couple times. And that's why they've put up a block wall there. Every day it's a wonder there's not one of these foreign students laying alongside the road. It's a very small road. And when you're going in during the day, you can meet a car, and you have a bicycle and on each side of the road, or a walker on each side of the road. You actually have to stop your car. You know, it's just too small of a road. And tide water, well, they say they're going to get tide water. And then there's the coming out of Shady Ridge and Kyrie Estates. And you can understand, too, and I think it did get brought up that he was might want to save two for his employees. That's nice. And if the parking, 3 or 4 per unit, that's not good. And I feel as though that we're going to be in the Jeff and Jewel Marsh situation that you all know about, except we're going to be single lot owners all around this problem. And what I'd like to say, it says, please give the letters consideration in opposing this conditional use. There are houses along Munchie Branch Road. Seabright is not on Munchie Branch Road. You turn off Munchie Branch Road, and the front of those buildings face the street. Mr. Shergrew has asked for his units to be put on a lot that has wetlands to the right and my property to the left. Off my property line is a sewer line, 10 feet on his property. He then wants to put a driveway in to get to the 3 units with garage doors, 6, facing my property, and the back of the units will be facing the branch. Facing Munchie Branch Road will be the side of the units, not consistent with the houses in the surrounding area. When you go down, when you go off of Route 1 on Munchie Branch Road, on each side there's houses that faces the street. Well, he doesn't want to put his townhouses facing the street because he can't get 6 there. You know, that's not our problem. And I really want you guys to really look at this and think twice. And then there's also a letter from a Lucinda Gomez and Aylin Hyten, and I want you to take into consideration that goes through more in detail about you know, the public safety and everything else. And I really want you to think twice about this. It's not good for the community. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, who's next? Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, sir. I can't stiff sitting here all this time. Joan okay. Deaver. For Citizens for Better Sussex. And, you know, I live on a road that DelDOT has talked about widening. And when I look at this, you know, I think maybe at some point we should look at the fact that we're allowing homes to be built awfully close to roads these days. And if we were to require that they be a little bit further back off the road, we'd be better off because maybe we could widen some roads. I just want to say generally I do object to the fact that all the information wasn't in the file for the citizens to see I think it's 10 days prior to the hearing. And if there's any way with the ordinances you have and the laws you have to deny this, I hope you will. I know you do your very best, and I really look at this plan as just an effort to squeeze so many homes into a piece of property that's just not appropriate. there's so much here that I wonder about. You know, when, for instance, you drive into it, how do you get out? I mean, there's no turnaround. I mean, emergency services. I don't know. I wouldn't want to live in that third unit, having people turning in my driveway trying to get out of there. There's no turning apron off of Munchie Branch Road, which you've just heard the condition of that road. It's really a bad situation. I don't see any good buffering between developments. I'm concerned because this particular piece of property, I heard in testimony that it's subject to frequent flooding. I'm hearing from the applicant that there's 1.5 acres of open space available. I don't know what he means by open space, and I'm not sure if we know exactly what we mean by ordinance.
What he testified to was
1.12 acres.
Yeah, and the way he did that, he told us what he did, and he took the roof areas and the paving areas and just subtracted it from the total lot size. That's the answer to your question. That's, mm-hmm. how I came up with it.
Open space.
And he's calling everything that isn't
yeah.
roof or asphalt open space.
I guess in my hopes, I would hope that open space is land that people could actually use, you know, take a picnic on it or something. And we're talking about wetlands, and that's not something that we can use. There should be sidewalks, and there should certainly be sidewalks along Munchie Branch Road. It's time we did things correctly. I looked at the buffer, and I thought that was a buffer from the shoreline. Now I'm hearing it's a buffer from the center of the stream. So I'm kind of disappointed in that. I didn't realize that. I don't know, what do you do about the inland bays? Do you have a buffer, you know, from the center of the bay, a 50-foot buffer? How do you, you know, I don't get it. Anyway, I'm really concerned about the Munchie Branch, and it's in jeopardy. And so for the benefit of my neighbors who live there, I'm here for them. And I sure appreciate this opportunity. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Helena Dove, and some of you I've seen before. I've been before County Council on Planning Zoning, and I have property on Munchie Branch that has been approved for multifamily dwelling. I have great concerns with what has been presented. First of all, I'm going to try and not take insult to the fact that I live in a low-income area. We don't, and apparently somebody thinks that we do.
I think we all missed that.
Low-income, he said that just like that, and as soon as he said it, he said, first-time home buyers. You had to have caught that. It was quick. But anyway, let me finish.
You know what? I remember that, and it sort of sounded to me like he was correcting himself.
He was correcting himself.
Let him do that.
I picked up on that, and I really am. I'm taking offense to that.
Let's go on
to something that's really important.
Okay.
Mrs. Deaver hit on it, and we have a terrible traffic problem on Munchie Branch Road. If I remember what I've read in the paper, one of the worst intersections on Route 1 is Food Lion and Webster's Furniture. There are very, very, very many accidents. Last year, I personally witnessed a young foreign student being hit on a bicycle. This particular project is going to increase the volume on Munchie Branch. They're going to be putting 3 cars per unit. So there's 6 units, 3 cars times 6, that's 18. Bring those out onto Munchie Branch. Munchie Branch already has a tremendous amount of traffic because people have found that it is a really quick way to get. When the traffic is backed up on Route 1, it's a quick way to get from Webster's Furniture around to Wawa and drops you right back on Route 1. You don't have to sit in all that traffic, and they come around and they use it for that purpose. There's no sidewalks. We have maybe 100 foreign students living back in the area, and they walk the road to go to work. They ride their bikes to go to work. They have, I mean, what we're doing is we're just increasing the traffic density. When I went for my project to get it to be improved, this was one of the biggest conflicts that I ran into, was increasing the density. We went from 5 units to 2. Okay? There's no sidewalks. That road, as Mrs. Deaver said, I would be terrified if unit number 3 was on fire. How are they going to get all of the fire trucks there? It's just, and there's one other thing that when this gentleman, and I apologize, I don't know your name.
You need to speak to me.
Okay. When this gentleman was giving his dissertation, he talked about the wetlands and putting up the fencing, the whatever that was called, I don't know. But you had said that you, the person that gave the dissertation, Maria, is that her name?
Okay.
It was Jessica Watson.
Jessica Watson.
Okay, thank you, whatever. Anyway, she's concerned because they do not remove it. He stated they would not be removing it. I think that's a conflict where, you know, one says one thing, one says another. Here's the next thing. If this is going to be first-time home buyer, okay, first-time home buyers usually have small children. Okay, they're out there playing. There's wetlands. Who's going to be the one that's going to rescue those kids because they're thinking, oh, let's go see, what's this out here? Look, there's a snake. Oh, look, there's a frog. Look, there's a turtle. And they go down into the wetlands, and next thing, they're belly up, head up. They're drowned. And those little ponds that are there, I'm sorry. I wouldn't want my grandchildren being privy to having into that situation. So I think, as Mrs. Deaver said, and I'm going to reiterate it, please, please, please think about this before you approve it. It should not be approved.
Let me ask you a question. How close is your property to this site?
Faye is next to him,
yeah.
And I'm, it's just right there. I'm at the top of the hill.
Right, okay.
I'm at the top.
Right. That's right. I forgot. Okay.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, we're good. Anything else?
No, just please think. Please.
Oh, we do a lot of thinking, and I can assure you we will think. Okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak in opposition? Anyone? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I'd like to, if Mr. Warner could just clarify that again, because I thought that you did for me with the buffer from the branch or the property line. I thought that you said it was 50 feet from the high water mark. Wasn't that
I believe
correct?
For non-title, it may be mean water level, ordinary high water level. I get the confused. It's got to be from mean because title would be high water mark.
I'll tell you what it says. It's landward of the mean high water line of tidal waters, tidal tributary streams. Excuse me, tidal tributary streams and tidal wetlands, and from the ordinary high water line of perennial non-tidal rivers and non-tidal streams.
That's where the 50 foot is measured from.
Ordinary high water. Yeah. Is it non-tidal?
Correct, non-tidal.
It's not the center line.
Well, if he said it, he misspoke.
Apologize if I...
Give him a break. Come on. The man just read you the law. You know what it is.
Are you done?
Good.
And
so are you. Sit.
I do want to apologize for not having the information in there. I'm going to give this to Mr.
Good.
Lang.
Fine. Apology accepted. Anyone else have anything? Okay. We're going to close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us. One trip to a customer, ma'am. To spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And gentlemen, in order to give a fair hearing to the two applicants who are left to go, we are recessed for 5 minutes. Because the chairman's got to go to the party.